Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Middlesbrough Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, the next 30 minutes, as it always is, it is the Borough Takeover every Thursday night on Love Sport Radio, 10 to 10:30pm. And as always, the man that joins us now, it is Phil Spencer from Football League World. Phil, always good to get you on. There may be not a game for us to divulge into and dissect it and rate the season, how it's going so far, but there is a lot of news at the club. Obviously, we're drawing a close to the end of the transfer window, but there's been some injuries as well. I want to talk all about them because maybe that will change the plans as we come into this last 24 hours now. Patrick Roberts injured, looking like he could be out for 8 weeks. He's only made 4 appearances. We was really hoping for big things towards this business end of the season. Now he's done. Will this change Borough's plans in the next 24 hours?
I think it's got to be honest. Patrick Roberts came in. He hasn't played a lot of football so far this term, but he's come into the Middlesbrough squad, and he's just made an immediate impact. I think the quality that he brings on the ball, the pace, the trickery, just the creative nature that he brings, it was something that Jonathan Woodgate doesn't have in his squad at the moment. And as he was kind of building up his fitness during the course of January, he was really starting to make a real impact at first team level. Now, obviously, but he went hobbling off against Birmingham City. It was a hamstring injury. It seemed like it was just a precautionary thing that he was taken off. But like you said, Jonathan Woodgate said that he'll be out for 6 to 8 weeks, and that's a massive blow for Middlesbrough's main creative outlet to be out for that amount of time. You're talking that's going to take you into the start of April. So are they going to go back into the transfer market in the next 24 hours to sign another attacking player? I think they're probably going to have to, because otherwise they're kind of back to square one on that front.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Phil. It's absolutely rotten luck. You know, it was a big coup for the club to get him. You know, many clubs wanted him. He chose Middlesbrough. We was already kind of seeing the impact he had, even if it was just a few appearances. Now he's gone down. Is there a worry that maybe he may be recalled, or is he going to wait it out in Middlesbrough? Because we was just hoping to start to see the best of him, really.
Yeah, I don't think there's any danger of him being recalled. I think from what I understand, I think for the next 2 months he is going to undergo his treatment at Middlesbrough. So there's no chance of him kind of going back and doing his recovery with Man City over in the northwest. So he's very much going to be in the Middlesbrough picture. That way Jonathan Woodgate can keep an eye on him. The medical staff can watch him as closely as possible. And you can bet that as soon as he's fit and ready to play an active role in the first team, he'll be back out on the training pitches and back out at the Riverside as soon as he's able to.
Yeah, and obviously, we're seemingly hearing rumours, obviously, up on Teesside that Borough wanted 2 more, hoping to get 2 more, even though they'll take 1. Maybe a defender in. We know they was trying to get back Ben Gibson. Any more news on that? And who else have they been linked with, Phil, even if we can be a little bit speculative, like you said?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I think that's the idea, that they want to bring in 2 more players, ideally, before the end of the transfer window. A defender is an absolute priority. They're really lacking in cover at the back. As you know, they've been playing Johnny Howson and Paddy McNair at centre back, which just kind of shows the lack of options that they've got there. Dale Fry went hobbling off against Birmingham City, and while he's expected to be back fairly soon, it just kind of shows that for that game they were playing 3 players at centre-back who had barely played at centre-back at first-team level before this kind of injury hit run. So I think bringing someone in is going to be a real priority. Ryan Shotton and George Friend are on the way back, but they are wanting someone else to add a bit of cover. A lot of people have spoken about Ben Gibson coming from Burnley. Personally, I'm not entirely sure whether that's going to be feasible. I think his wages are a massive stumbling block there. Burnley also seem hesitant to let him go when they don't have cover for him, even though he's cover for the original starters. So it's a bit of a a situation of them trying to like stockpile players almost. So I think there's too many question marks, there's too many doubts, and there's not enough positive noises coming out of that deal for that to potentially happen. Other than that, they've been linked with a couple. They've been linked with James Chester at Aston Villa. They've been linked with a lad down at Bournemouth, but that one's not happening. Another one is Filip Benkovic, who's at Leicester City. Now he arrived at the Premier League club for a fee of around 13 million about 18 months ago. Spent last season on loan at Celtic, and I think this season was really the season that he was going to be stepping up for Leicester and potentially replacing Harry Maguire, but he got injured in the summer, so that didn't really happen, and I think his career's just kind of stalled. So Middlesbrough are trying to offer him a route out of Leicester, somewhere to play regular first-team football, but similar to the situation with Burnley, Leicester aren't wanting to let him go until they've signed someone who can replace him in the squad to make sure that they're not left short in the second half of the season. So it's one of those which could really go right to the wire, to be honest. It's one where it's that old transfer domino effect where they're probably going to be waiting on one of these sorts of clubs to do the business that they want to do. And then it might be a last-minute move to bring in one of these lads on loan.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've spoken about the foundations being laid by Woodgate and his staff, you know, almost looking towards next year. You know, we're not writing this season off, but, you know, there are building blocks in place. And this is the project that we're focusing on, the road that we're leading to, all paths leading there. And obviously, one of the big blocks of that is keeping those youngsters, signing them and extending their deals. News this week that England under-20 international Marcus Tavernier signed a new 3.5-year deal with Middlesbrough. And he has become a regular, hasn't he? I think he's made 26 appearances this season, couple of goals, and he seems now he's really a key piece in Woodgate's side.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and that's exactly it. I think first of all, it's absolutely crucial for the club to be tying down their top talent to long-term contracts. I think that's very much the route that Middlesbrough are going down. It's bringing in players who are young and up and coming and high potential who ultimately will either be able to fulfil the potential with Middlesbrough and take them to the next level, or at the very least, they'll have the option of selling them on for a profit down the line. I think there's a few academy lads who have come through who are all kind of on the cusp of signing contracts, and I think Marcus Tavernier, he's one who fits that exactly. He was kind of in and out of the first team fold under Tony Pulis last season. The words coming out were that he was incredibly talented. He was kind of coming off the bench and showing a little bit of impact, but not really showing everything that he was kind of capable of. But this season under Jonathan Woodgate, maybe the new change in philosophy has helped, because Woodgate has been willing to give these lads a go in the first team, and he's just come on leaps and bounds. We mentioned about Patrick Roberts being the main creative outlet for them in the last few games. Marcus Tavernier is the next best thing. He's really shown his quality, and there's still a long way to go for him. There's a lot of improvements that he can still make to his game, but the fact that he's playing regularly and looking impressive at championship level is really encouraging for the club moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And just, we're talking about next year, as there hasn't been a game, if we sort of split up this season, Phil, into three tiers, you know, beginning in the middle and end as such, we know it was a slow start. Woodgate was obviously, everyone thought that he was on the hot seat, he was on the chopping block. They gave him that time. We saw the upturn in form, and now it's kind of middled out a little bit. What can we expect really to the end of the season? How will it just nicely cap and round off a first full season for Woodgate?
Yeah, well, I think I think the way that you're talking is probably kind of right with it. The start of the season was a little bit of a mess, to be honest. It was Jonathan Woodgate kind of finding his feet, trying to find his best formation, trying to find a style and an identity which was going to entertain fans, but more importantly, get results. That took a little while to find, and probably longer than what people would have wanted it to, and as a result, he did come under pressure. But he's kind of found that formula just before Christmas. This middle chunk has been a lot better. They've been picking up good results. Obviously, they had a lengthy stretch where they were without defeats, which kind of like pulled them away from danger. And since then, they've been picking up results fairly consistently as well, something which I kind of expect to continue. I think going into the final third of the season, to be honest, I think it's going to be one of these for Middlesbrough where it is going to be building up to next year. I can't see them being dragged into a relegation battle now. I think they've got too much quality and there's too many points that this side will be able to pick up between now and the end of the season for that to happen. Will they be able to make up for lost time and go on a winning run that will see them move into the top half of the table and towards the playoffs? Can't see that happening either. I think when you are playing young players, there's a degree of inconsistency that comes with that as well. So it's going to be difficult for them to make that step up to that level. So I think realistically, it is just going to be about consolidating in mid-table. Now they can use the loan market and use the experienced players who they've got on the books at the moment to get these results, or they could go down a different route and after they get a few more wins and it's kind of a little bit more mathematically safe that they are, it might be a case of making a decision really on some of the players who are out of contract.
Yeah, and obviously,
if you've got
sorry Phil, that was my fault. Sorry, Phil.
That's all right. I'm just going to say, if you've got players like Rudy Gusted, players like that who realistically aren't going to be there next season, do you keep persevering with them and letting them come off the bench? Or is that an opportunity where you can give some of the younger lads in the academy a route into the team at championship level, give them that experience, and then as a result, you're kind of better prepared for next season?
Yeah, because talking of those youngsters, who I was going to mention, obviously doing a little bit of a loan watch, because we are obviously looking towards next year, seeing if those academy prospects will get a chance. Marcus Brown, he was on loan at Oxford, you know, he played against Premier League opposition Newcastle. Could he be a name to watch out for and in the mix?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the first half of the season for him at Middlesbrough, it didn't exactly go to plan. He's a player who you can tell he's a talented lad, maybe lacked a little bit of discipline in the first half of the season, a couple of sendings off, just his play and, I suppose, fulfilling the defensive side of what he was needing to do at championship level, he kind of struggled with. But I think that's just down to inexperience. He hadn't played a huge amount of first-team football before he came to Middlesbrough. So I think the idea with him is that he's not really going to play a big part for Middlesbrough this season. So send him out on loan to Oxford and let him get some regular game time, which looks like is going to be happening for him. And if he can come back in the summer a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, a little bit more streetwise in terms of what he can bring on the pitch, then he could certainly be a player who steps up next season and is more of a central part in that first team fold.
Well, Phil, we really appreciate you coming on the Middlesbrough Fan Show tonight, giving us your insight as you always do, a key part of the show, especially as we draw to a close in that January transfer window. Who knows, Phil, next week on the show, we could have two new signings that we could be talking about, and there is still time, and there's always time, to have your say on any of the fan shows. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 7020 558. Still more to come from Borough, though. We're going to be looking towards that game with Blackburn on the weekend, which is a return for hometown boy Stuart Downing.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Middlesbrough Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, we are in the midst of the Middlesbrough Fan Takeover, and there is still time to have your say tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. We just heard from Phil Spencer there from Football League World all about Borough's transfer dealings. Could we see any more? Obviously, Patrick Roberts has been injured, so has that changed the plans at all? There wasn't a game on the weekend, but there is a massive one this weekend. Football returns because it's Blackburn. It is the hometown boy. Well, welcome back. It is Stuart Downing. He said he had to leave. It's obviously going to be a weird one for him this weekend. But the man who joins us now is another hometown favourite. It is, of course, Stephen Jackson from the 12th Man. Stephen, really good, obviously, to have you a firm part of this show, a firm fixture, and to get your Borough insight. Lots going on at the minute. The window's nearly closing, but let's keep it football. It is Blackburn on the weekend. Stuart Downing's coming back, but overall, what are you making of the contest?
Well, it's going to be quite a tough contest, isn't it? It's going to be a tough game. They're pushing for the playoffs at the moment. So they won 2-1, was it on Tuesday night, against QPR. Last away game in the league, won 5-0, so quite confident on the road. But, you know, forget about that. Everybody's looking at the return of Stuart Downing and Tony Mowbray, you know, our cult heroes from two generations. It's going to be a good game Saturday. We expect a big test from a really good Morris side.
Yeah, absolutely. Two of the former players linked with Middlesbrough there, then obviously Stuart Dan and Tony Mowbray, big part of Middlesbrough. And Dannon said he won't celebrate. Obviously, he's a hometown boy. He knows what Middlesbrough means to him and vice versa with the fans. But it will be a bit of a weird one for him on the weekend, won't it?
Yeah, so it's one of the... I mean, when he did leave us the first time, I think he only played against us a couple of times following that. So this is, I think, it's his first trip back to the Riverside as an opposition. So it's going to be a bit of a weird atmosphere. It's going to be weird watching Stewie in a different shirt rather than the Borough one, to be honest. Mm. He's one of my heroes growing up, obviously, going for the European days, watching him fly down the left in the European quarterfinals, semi-finals, even the final. And obviously coming back and getting us promoted under the tenure of Antal Karanka as well. So it's going to be weird watching him wearing an opposition shirt against us on Saturday.
Yeah, obviously a big player, even when he was representing Borough, playing for England as well. Just a big player there. He said he won't celebrate if it comes to it on the weekend. He'll keep it professional. And we weren't expecting anything less, was we, really, Stephen?
No, it look weird if he celebrated. You know, he's a nice big knee slide in front of the North Stand or something like that. I don't think it would have been quite right. And I think he feels that as well. As much as he's wearing a different shirt, he's still a Borough boy. He's still one of us. He's still a Teesider. So, as I say, for him to not celebrate as well, that's massive respect as well. And I respect him for that, saying that, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, Stephen, me and you, we get to speak every week. Our friendship gets stronger. There was an earthquake last week. I checked in to make sure you're right. You was all right. My next question, obviously, though, I've been keeping up to date with all your social media gatherings on. You know, I'm a soft Middlesbrough fan now, checking on the 12th man. One thing that you were saying I really want to raise now, because it's a point that affects all fans, and you were speaking about on social media, how can we improve the match day atmosphere, the environment around the club? You know, ticket prices may be going down. It's a really big thing at the minute with ticket prices and fans being sort of frozen out almost. I know it's the Middlesbrough show and we had a little bit of needle, didn't we? We were talking about Derby, but they was mentioning it as well this week, Sam. Their game's on TV this Friday night. It's only, you know, down the road, Derby versus Stoke, and yet it's on TV, it's a Friday night, there's no trains back, and it's still £35 a ticket. They feel disgusted about it. On the same page, you know, tickets as well, maybe coming down at Middlesbrough, is this something that they could look into and you feel strongly about also?
It's something we actually mentioned on the podcast that we do every week. A lot of people have said ticket pricing around the Riverside, it's not equal. There's different prices for wherever you want to sit in the stadium, which personally for me, I feel is wrong. And I do feel it's overpriced. I said, there's a campaign that started, well, a few years ago now, was 20's plenty. And for me, that is spot on for the Championship. I think £20 is more than enough to watch second tier football. I know it's the most exciting league in the world. We all love it. There's no VAR. It's just pure football. But when you're having to pay a starter of £35 to £40 a ticket, then you've got on top getting to the game. Then you've got on top of that whatever you buy at the game, or pints, whatever it may be. It becomes a really expensive day, and all of a sudden,
especially if you're taking kids and little ones and family, that football's still meant to be for the family. You know, you take your boys, you take your girls, and this is what fans can't do anymore as well.
Exactly. That's a really good point. I mean, we have a really good family zone at the Riverside where if adults do buy a season ticket, if they do want to take for the young lads, the young daughters, sons, whatever it may be, there is an offer for them to do that. But it's a very restricted section of the Riverside that does that. It's only half of the East Stand, so it's not a massive amount of tickets. I just feel any club, whether it be Middlesbrough, Derby, whatever club it may be, they need to do something a bit more to attract the next generation, because at the moment, it's all been taken away from, like you say, the pricing structure. And the fact that young lads, 15, 16, are struggling to get to most games in the season. And for me, that's wrong. You don't want to see half-empty stadiums. Let's fill the stadiums up, get the atmosphere going. And all of a sudden, your home form, it might even take a bit of an upturn because of more fans backing you. And say, I'm not saying it's a guarantee, but it's just a good little insight, a little bit of an incentive for a football club to get the fans back in the doors as well.
Well, it sounds silly, but it does make all the difference. You know, teams go, oh, we don't want to go to Riverside on a weekend. 30,000 fans, you know, it's a bit of a fortress up there. The fans don't let you breathe from the first kick until the last kick. And you know, I know owners maybe see a short term. They go, look, we want to put these prices in because we see overall the bigger money structure. But, you know, it does make a difference. When we're seeing it half full or a quarter full, these can be the difference. Then they'll get more money in and the results will improve. And in the bigger picture, they'll earn more money that way as well. There needs to be a long-term vision rather than just a short-term one, doesn't there?
Exactly. I know there's a massive budget around each club these days. They look at how much TV income's coming in, match day income, things like that. Mm. We fully understand that as fans, and we're fully on board with that. And it's part of the financial fair play that the Football League brought in. I mean, no matter how good or bad that may be, that's for another day. But still think that you should be doing something to bring in fans of the next generation, because for me, they're being priced out. And if you start pricing fans out, working class fans like ourselves, who work really hard Monday to Friday just to get that bit of freedom on a Saturday to go out and enjoy the football, all of a sudden you're finding out that you can't afford to go to the football. I just think it's a dying shame, and I think if that continues, it's going to kill lower league football, and it's going to kill the atmosphere in big stadiums like ours, and it's something I don't want to see in the future. I want to see rocking stadiums. I want to see fans enjoying themselves, and I do fully believe that every football club can be a part of doing that by just putting a little bit of a loosener on the ticket prices. I mean, Liverpool did it for next week's FA Cup replay, and you say they put the prices down. Anfield will be full. Anfield will be rocking for them young kids that are going to play. Why can't every other football club put in a little incentive, even if they tell season ticket holders, bring a friend for a tenner? You know, all of a sudden you've got 30,000 people in. So I just feel that more can be done. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, and there's been a lot of stick. Obviously, this is the Middlesbrough Fan Show, but I want this to be a platform where fans can have their say on all the issues in football, get the Middlesbrough perspective on it. You mentioned Liverpool there. They've lowered their prices. We're talking about it for Middlesbrough, but they've lowered them because they're going to play the kids in the Cup, and they may think that might turn fans away. So they're trying to entice them with those lower prices, but it is the under-23s. Liverpool and Klopp have, you know, they've copped a lot of flack over this, in fact, and, you know, saying, oh, scrap the replays. This isn't what the FA Cup's about. The lower clubs survive on this. This is part and parcel of this tradition and of that cup competition. As a Middlesbrough fan and as a football fan, Stephen, where do you stand on it all?
Well, personally, what I think Jurgen Klopp's doing is wrong. I think, if fair enough, he's got the choice of playing whatever squad he wants. That's absolutely fine. That's completely up to him. But the fact that he's come out and said, I'm not going to be stood on the touchline for that replay, I think that's very disrespectful. I mean, imagine if Jose Mourinho said that to Middlesbrough when we went to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium a few weeks ago for that replay. Mm. We'd be absolutely incensed. We'd be absolutely outraged. I just find it very disrespectful, and I find it quite cheeky, to be honest. It's like he's not taking the cup seriously. We've all grown up with the FA Cup. End of the day, third round was Saturday, 3 o'clock. The fact that the fifth round is Wednesday night is another story and is ridiculous again. But I just feel that the respect that Klopp's paid to the Cup and not being there for that replay, I just find disgusting, to be honest. I just think, you're manager of the Liverpool Football Club, it's a privilege in itself. Why do you feel it's the need to go and have a two-week break? You haven't been playing these 30-odd weeks. You should be there for that first-team game. End of the day, it is a first-team game. It's not an under-23s game. I think the FA should be in touch. You should be on the touchline. And if you're not on the touchline, be in the stands telling Neil Critchley what to say, and how to direct the team. I just find it completely wrong, to be honest.
Yeah, I do. And I've kind of, obviously, I've argued that point all week. I'm someone who's absolutely always been in love with the FA Cup. And they go, well, the game's changed. It's a modern game now. That's third on Liverpool's priorities. They have to look after the Premier League. They have to look after the Champions League. And they just, there's two schools of thought here, and, you know, an argument. And they're really strong in backing their own one. And that's kind of where the magic's been lost, hasn't it, Stephen? That's where the devaluation comes from, because they go, well, it's not as important to us as defending the European Cup or winning the Premier League, you know. So we are going to play the kids. We are going to have a break and get rejuvenated, because we've got tougher games, and this isn't one of them.
I completely agree. I mean, take for instance Tuesday night, Aston Villa played Leicester in the Carabao Cup semi-final. Aston Villa scored a 93rd minute winner to obviously take them to Wembley. Look at what it meant to them 40,000 Villa fans. They went absolutely mental. Look at the disappointment in Leicester City fans' faces. They've won the league 4 years ago. You know, it's not like they're a mid-table club who's not won much. They were Premier League champions 4 years ago. Look what it meant to them. They were knocked out of the cup competition at the semi-final stage.
Yeah,
it still means a lot to a lot of clubs. And the fact, it boils down to money. The amount of money that is on offer these days, to be quite honest with you, and the amount of money that is offered to the Champions League winners, to Europa League, the incentive of finishing in the top four. I just feel that money aspect has took it away from the shine of the FA Cup, which is completely wrong, because that is, and always will be, the best cup competition in the world, and it should be respected like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Money has changed the game, Stephen. That's why I love talking to all the different clubs on the fan shows, just because you get that different perspective. But it's one I agree with. Just quickly then, football's back for Borough on the weekend. Quick score prediction.
It's going to be tough. 2-1, probably Stuart Downing goal for them, but 2-1 Borough.
Come on, 2-1 Brighton. As always, we'll be back here at the same time, 10 to 10.30 every week, where not only Stephen will have his say, but you can have your say. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Special thanks to our guests, Stephen Jackson and Phil Spencer. They will be joining me next week, and so can you. We will see you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.